We're very pleased again this morning to have Reverend Stephen Evans with us again. Stephen was with us several months ago, and we enjoyed having him. But today we enjoy him even more because he brought Holly with him, and we thank her for coming. Stephen is not a regular minister. He is Reverend Evans. I told you before, he is the youngest man with elder's credentials I think I've ever met in our denomination. And I asked him last time he was here, how did he get elder's credentials when he hadn't started shaving yet? He just looks so young, and he is a young man, and a fine young man. He is a captain and chaplain in the Army Reserve, and he's also a chaplain for a hospice company that calls on NHC and Lawrence and Clinton and Greenwood and McCormick. So he travels pretty much the same routes that I do sometimes. But he's doing something far more important than I do. But we're pleased to have Reverend Evans with us this morning. If you'll come down and speak to us, please.
Well, good morning, everyone, and I'm just happy to be here once again to see you all and to come and share God's Word with you, and I surely thank Dr. Vic and the opportunity he's given me to be here today, and appreciate how welcoming all of you are to myself and to Holly this time, who came along, and I'm glad that she's here also. But today, I just want to talk about Scripture in Matthew chapter 7, that I believe teaches us something very important. And so we'll read it in a second, but if you want to go ahead and flip to Matthew chapter 7, and verses 24 through 27 are going to be our main text for our scripture today. Any of you here that have spent any time in the military kind of understand what it's like and what they try to do with you, a soldier or airman, marine, or sailor, whenever you first enter into the military, they want to sort of ingrain into you a new set of values, a new way of living, a new way to think. And they have fairly harsh ways of doing that through basic training and so forth. And I know for myself, as a chaplain, I didn't go through basic combat training necessarily. We have our own initial military training that chaplains go for to get indoctrinated into the Army. But one of the things I remember doing, and at Fort Jackson's where the chaplain school is, I saw the basic training soldiers going through the same thing often, is that there are certain things that we have to memorize, that you have to be ready to be able to recite it or know it at any moment, any time a sergeant or NCO may come and ask you that. And some of those things are things like the Soldier's Creed, which contains principles and values that soldiers are to live by. The Army values are a set of values that soldiers, officers are called to live, not only in their military service, but in everyday life. Those things are loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Those are what are referred to as the Army values. And I remember many times after we would eat chow, that's what we call eating in the Army. We would line them in our formation, and they would have us sing the Army song or say the Soldier's Creed. And it was funny at Fort Jackson because the chaplain school and the drill sergeant school shared the same dining facility. So you have both ends of the Army. You know, you have the chaplains, the pastors who come in and sort of help soldiers through the hard times, and then the drill sergeants who send them to us, right? So it was just interesting we'd line up on one side if we walked in, and the drill sergeant candidates were on the other side. And they had it a lot harder than we did, and I'll have to admit. Their instructors were very harsh, and they would have to say the drill sergeant's creed all together in unison in that dining facility on command, and it was very long. They had it memorized. But I remember one day we were standing in line waiting to eat in our single file line as we were waiting to come in. And one of the drill sergeant instructors stopped the candidate and said, say the Soldier's Creed, and it was a lot harsher than that, the way he asked him to do it. And that sergeant, he just froze up, and his mind went blank, and he forgot. And I've never seen anybody get chewed out as hard as that guy did. And it was funny because all the chaplains just sort of leaned over to watch. But the point being is, in life, and using that military illustration, you know, we all have a set of values that we strive to, that we ought to be living by. And you have to ask yourself, what are the guiding principles of my life? What shapes the way I think, shapes the way I make decisions every day? Because that's often something, especially as Christians, we face on a daily basis. And back home at our church, I teach a class on Wednesday nights with teenagers, and I often tell them, you're going to face decisions in life where you essentially have two roads you're going to have to choose between. You're either going to choose between the world's way of doing things, or you're going to have to choose God's way of doing things. And it's important that you're prepared to be able to make that choice to say, when I'm faced with a situation where I have to do the wrong thing or the right thing, the world's way or God's way, I need to be ready to take God's path and walk His way. In this scripture in Matthew 7 that we're going to look at today, Jesus gets to that point. He had just finished preaching, actually this is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, as He had first began His ministry, if you read through Matthew, the first several chapters, after His baptism, His temptation, His wilderness, He called 4 disciples at this point, and He had a lot of people following Him because He had performed some miracles and so forth, and He was teaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, was His central message at the time. And so He goes up on a mountain after He sees all these large crowds, and He begins to teach the Sermon on the Mount. And that's contained in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And Jesus gave us a lot of guiding principles in that sermon for us to live by. And at the end, in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus said this: "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Let's stop for a moment, have a word of prayer, and we'll keep going. Lord, I'm thankful again today to be here to bring Your word, Lord, and I pray that, Lord, You would teach us through these scriptures today and through these moments that we're going to share together. Lord, I ask that You would help us to be humble to Your word. Help us to be open to what You would have to say to us today. So, Lord, be with us all and help us to learn to follow You more closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus, in these verses, gave a pretty easy to understand analogy. He says, if you do what I say, if you act on my words, it's like a wise builder. He built his house on rock. And rains came, a storm came, and the house stood. If you do not do what I say, you are like a foolish builder who decided to build his house on sand. Not a very good idea. The winds came and the house fell. And He says, great was its fall. And so today we're going to take a few minutes to also take some observations from the Sermon on the Mount, from these verses, to see that living by God's word and acting on what Jesus tells us to do will best prepare us for the challenges that we're going to face in life. And so the first thing I want us to consider is that statement Jesus made, these words of mine. What exactly is He talking about? Which ones specifically does He mean? Well, He just gave a sermon, so when you read that, well, it will draw you back to see what He said within that sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount. And I wanted to just point out a few different things they said. Obviously, I'm not going to read the whole text or preach from 3 chapters, but I just wanted to point out a couple of lessons that Jesus taught in this sermon. The first one is found in Matthew 5:38. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, Do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to see you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Let's look at verse 43. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Skip over to chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And just one more, skip over to chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so I've just selected a few to kind of make the point. If you read through the whole sermon, I believe you'll see this in other teachings as well, that the way that Jesus was teaching us to live is very different than how the world teaches us to live. The first example we read, he says, "You heard that was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And he's talking about vengeance or justice against someone who does you wrong. Say if someone walks up to you, punches you in the face, you might want to return that same punch in equal force, right? Or if someone does you wrong, say if you go someplace, a business that you deal with, and they make a mistake or they deal poorly with you, you might expect to get returned, or that they would, you know, have to face some consequence for that, or so forth. And that's sort of generally how the world works in a lot of ways. But Jesus says, if someone does you wrong, he says, someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. That's a lot different than what we might normally think. It's a different way of thinking. He even goes as far to say, if anyone were to see you take your shirt, just don't give him your shirt, let him have your coat also. And so what Jesus is getting at is that specifically in those verses, he doesn't want us to be vengeful people. He wants us to be forgiving people. But also we see that this way of life, this way of thinking is much different than the way the world thinks. And verse 43, the next one that we read, he says, "Love your neighbor, hate your enemy." It's a pretty natural thing to do. We want to love those who we know, family, neighbors, and so forth, and those who are against us, we don't like so much, right? That's how the world typically works. But Jesus says, if you go on to read through the rest of those scriptures, he says, you should love all. He said in verse 46, "If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you only greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" He's saying, I want you to be different in this world. I don't want you to only love those who love you, but also love those who don't love you. If we think about Jesus, what he did for us, he showed us that in the most ultimate way. Paul talks about in Romans, he says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies with God, while we were opposed to him, people who did not live for him, who may be in a point in our life where we hated God, he still made that sacrifice so that we can enjoy eternal life, so that we could receive his grace and his mercy and all these things. And he goes on, and the others that I read talking about giving to the poor. Now, often in our world, we see when people give to the poor, they don't really hide it, do they? Especially if you look at celebrities and so forth. They want everybody to know how many millions of dollars that they gave to such and such cause. And that's great that they're giving to a cause and so forth. But Jesus tells us, don't let your giving be about you. Let it be about coming from a pure heart where you honestly want to love others and give. It's not for your advantage, but for those who are giving to and for God, essentially is what he's saying. And then lastly, the last example I read, where he talks about storing wealth. You know, in our world, that's a big deal. And we have to have money to get by. We have to pay our bills. We have to buy food. We have to do all those things. It's part of the world we live in. But Jesus said, don't let that be the focus of your life. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where they're just going to be destroyed anyway. What he says, store up treasures in heaven where those treasures can will never fade away. Talking about eternal treasure. And so I say all that to make the point that Jesus says these words of mine. One of the aspects of these words is he's explained to us that I want you to live a different life. He's calling us to live a different way than the world lives. And just to go back to how I mentioned, you know, when I teach youth, that thing I often tell them. You have two ways in life to choose, and essentially all of us do every single day. When we wake up in the morning, we have to make a conscious decision and choice about how we're going to live during the day. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the world, or will we serve God? And so God calls us to live differently from the world. I had an experience at one point when I was working at a school in Greenville County before I started working with CARES Healthcare as a chaplain. And this was a job I just sort of picked up because I needed work, right? I had moved up here to go into too much detail. Holly might get mad at me, but I moved up in Holly's direction and I needed a job. And so I found one. And so I was working at the school as a teacher's aide. And one of the other aides walked up to me one day and he asked me if I was a Christian. And I said, I am. And he said to me, I could tell just by the way you acted, by your demeanor, by the way you do things and so forth. And that was a very humbling compliment to me, one that I think of often, that, by the way, I'm not trying to praise myself. I'm just saying that this is one way that this applies to us as Christians. When we live differently, the world sees that we're different, and they understand that there's something different about you. And a lot of times, that's a great witness for Christ because people are going to want to know why you're different, why you live differently. And you can point them, well, I have a Savior who calls me to live differently, who saved me from my sin, who's forgiven me, and now I follow him. This is how you can follow him too. And so it's important that we follow these words that Jesus gives, as he said in Matthew 7, these words of mine. And not only the Sermon on the Mount, but all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is good and profitable to us to study, to learn, so that we may follow Christ the best we can every single day. So the second thing I want to look at today, and from Matthew 7, 24 through 27, are these wise and foolish book builders. Now, in the introduction, I did mention that it's a pretty simple analogy to understand. Jesus wasn't using confusing words here. It's pretty easy to see what he's saying. There's a wise thing to do and a foolish thing to do. And when you think about building a home, you're not going to find the sandiest place you can find to put your house on, more than likely. That would not be a smart idea. You're going to find some place where there's a good foundation. You want it to be built solid so that when a storm comes, it won't fall. But for us, we have to think about what is the wise thing for us to do as believers? And also to think about what are these storms and so forth that Jesus is talking about. And so the wise man builds on the rock, but I want you to observe what Jesus says. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them or does them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Notice he didn't just say, those who hears these words and stop there. He didn't say those who hears these words and believes what I say. He didn't stop there. He says that you act on them, that you do them, that you take action in your life to do what Jesus tells us to do. And that is the wise thing for us to do as believers every day, to actually strive to live out some of these things we've already talked about earlier, that we wouldn't be vengeful but forgiving, that we wouldn't be boastful in how we give, but that we would be humble, that we would desire to store treasures in heaven opposed to earthly treasures. And the reason why it's wise is the very fact that life does bring us storms, it brings rain, it brings winds, it brings challenging and difficult times. And we're all going to face that. It's unavoidable. And a lot of you know that fact for sure. I'm sure many of you in here, all of you, have experienced something difficult and hard in your life. Now, for me, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily old enough yet to have faced too many hard times or too many tragedies, but I've seen a few. And in my daily work, you know, what I do Monday through Friday is I visit folks who are at the end of life. I see that often in their lives and their families' lives. People who are going through that journey of someone they love, they know is going to die soon. It's a difficult and hard time. And in my experience, especially for our patients, those who know Christ, who have lived for Him and have a real assurance of salvation, it really gives them a lot of help and comfort in those last days. I think of one in particular who, just even a few days before he passed away, when I go visit him, I'd read him the scripture, how much joy I saw it bring to his life, how he would smile and tell me, like, God bless you, brother. Thank you for coming today. I'll never forget that. His house was built on rock. And he spent his life undoubtedly doing that. That he acted on what Jesus told him to do. And when he came to the end of his life, instead of it being a storm that could blow his house down, he understood that this was the next step for me, that he was going to go see the house that Jesus had prepared for him in heaven. He did something that was wise. He acted on what Jesus told him to do. In the same way, it's a foolish thing to read these words, Jesus says, and not act on them, to not live by them. And sometimes as Christians, we may find ourselves in a time when we neglect to pick up this book and read it, or we neglect to really meditate on and think about what Jesus tells us to do and how he desires us to live a different life, we find ourselves not following these ways, not going the God's way, but sometimes choosing the world's path. And when we do that, we're going to find out pretty quickly that when challenges come in life, we're going to be a lot less prepared. We're not going to be ready. When those storms come, our house might be on the verge of being blown over. And Jesus said, it didn't just fall. He says, great was his fall. And we see this all the time, every day, or not, maybe not, hopefully not every day, but you see even prominent Christian leaders sometimes fall. Whenever maybe some pastors have an issue with infidelity in their marriage or something like that. And typically, the results are pretty devastating when something like that happens. Because not only does his house fall, sometimes the congregation that they're leading may fall. And I'm not, you know, thinking of anything in any instance in particular, but just, you know, in general, when you see that happen. As a believer, when we allow ourselves to be more susceptible to temptation, when we fall, it's a big deal. And we have to be careful of that. That we're building on the rock. And so when we're building on Jesus, we're going to be more ready for temptation. When the devil comes at you with whatever he is trying to get you to do, you're going to be more ready to defend against it and to be victorious over that temptation. Whenever we may even face persecution as believers, whenever someone may be ridiculing you for your faith, young people that are here, you know, when you go to school or high school or college, wherever you are, sometimes being a Christian isn't the popular thing to do. Sometimes the choices you make as a Christian don't make you the most popular kid at school. And sometimes people may give you a hard time or make fun of you for that. But if you're building on Jesus and his words, you're going to be ready to face that. Whenever we face hard circumstances of life, whatever those things may be, and there are many, if we live for Christ, we'll be ready. And we'll be prepared to follow him through whatever storm that we're going to face any day of the week. So today, as we think about this scripture, Matthew 24 through 27, as we made a few observations today, we've come to see that God's word is important. The words that Jesus give us are important to live by. So it's important for us to study this book, read it, and act on it. And it calls us to be prepared to live a different way, to live a different type of life that's different from the world, but one that where we walk by the Spirit, where we're seeking to serve God and eternal things. And if we live by that, we're going to be ready to stand on a firm foundation that will give us what we need to not be blown over by the things the world brings us every day. So today, as I get ready to close, I want to draw your attention to a scripture in Romans chapter 11. Actually, Romans chapter 12, excuse me. Romans 12, and just the first few verses of that chapter. I wanted to read that because I believe it sort of ties all this together. Because Paul is talking about living a different way, as he says in the scripture, being a living sacrifice for Christ. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So through this message, you may ask, well, I get that we need to know God's word. I get that it's important. I get that is the foundation that I should live on. But how do I do that? What does it look like every day? Well, I believe Paul gives us some insight into how we do it. He says, "Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." So that every day when we get up, we say, "God, I belong to you. I don't belong to me. And by faith, I'm going to follow you and ask you to give me what I need." That we sacrifice ourselves to him, lay ourselves on the altar before God and tell him, "I belong to you and I'm ready for you to use me in whichever way you see fit." And then he says in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so I spent a good bit of time talking about the different life we have to live. And Paul emphasizes that also in this verse, saying, don't allow yourself to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that takes an act of God in your life. Daily renewal by the Holy Spirit. And that's something that we can all ask for every day. That Lord, that we can go come to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me to think your way, not the world's way. And when I'm tempted to think the way that the world would have me to think, renew my mind. Help me to think differently. Help me to think according to your scripture." And what's the result of that? Paul says, "So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." In other words, you're standing on the rock. You're standing on a firm foundation. You're building your house in such a way that you will be more ready to know what God's will is for you every single day. That you will know that it's God's will for you to choose his way, not the world's way. Several years ago, when I went to Camp Three Forks Trail, and some of y'all may have been there before, and now I don't live far from there, I'll never forget a hike that we went on one day to see we go to the swimming hole. There's a big waterfall there and a place to go swimming. And the fellow leading the hike that day, he stopped us as we approached the waterfall, and you could hear the waters roar. And he told us all to be silent for a little bit. And he said, "The closer we get to this waterfall, the more clearly you can hear it. We know that we're going the right way." Such, in a similar way, it's our relationship with God. The closer we are to him, the more intimate relationship we have with him, the more clearly we're going to hear his call in our life and understand what his word is, what his will is for us. And so in closing, you know, just have that thought in your mind today. That if you want to stand on the rock and wisely build your house on the firm foundation of God's word and Jesus Christ, the best way to do that is to daily sacrifice yourself to him, asking him to help you to do it, and to spend time praying meditating on the God's Word so that you'll be closer to Him. And the closer you are to the Lord, the more easily you'll be able to understand what He wants you to do day by day. And when those storms come, more than likely, your house is going to stand. Let's pray, and we'll close. Lord, I'm so thankful for this day You've given us. Lord, I'm thankful that You have given us Your Word. Lord, help us every day to think about what You would have us to do and how You would have us to live. Help us to go to Your Word and read it, to think about it, to meditate on it, and to obey it. And Lord, give us the grace we need to do so, because we know that we cannot do that on our own. Because we are people, Lord, we have a tendency to follow the world's way. But we ask that Your Holy Spirit would guide each of us every day to follow Your way, so that when challenges face us in life, we'll be prepared to see through them. And Lord, I just ask this for all of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.